Good morning. Today we're going to be talking about reality. But we know that reality hits when one hits rock bottom, when they are at their lowest. And when reality sets in, that's when sometimes people come to the realization, I need to change. I need to go back where I was. And so we will see this with the prodigal son. For this young man wanted his father's inheritance. And so his father would split his inheritance between the oldest and the youngest son. And the youngest son would decide, I'm packing things up and I'm going to go on a journey. But soon enough he will realize that he had made a grave mistake. So going to our main text in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate, living recklessly. Now he began to be impoverished, and he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was desiring to be fed with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. We see that this young man was given his inheritance, and he left. But he squandered it away, living recklessly. There was a garbage man years ago, lived in the UK, and he won the lottery. So he quit his job like any person would if you won millions of dollars. But what happened within a few months, he squandered it away, living recklessly. Drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things. Partying it up like it's the end of the world. He soon found himself broke and now is back to being a garbage man. And that's how people tend to do with riches. When they get a big sum, they just spend it. They go wild instead of being wise with it. As a Christian, we know when we become Christians, we now are heirs. And we will receive what has been promised to us. But can we squander it away? Absolutely. Can we lose our salvation? Absolutely. By living recklessly, by living as sinners and not as Christians. We know that sin separates us from God. And that's not a good thing. That's a terrible thing. Because at that point, when we are separated, we now are lost. We now, our souls are now going down the path that leads to destruction. And so, going to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in him we also have been made an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, to the end that we who first have hoped in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. We know when the apostles, they received the Holy Spirit in a miraculous way, they would go on to be faithful, obedient, and to perform signs and wonders, and making known the mystery of the gospel. And then the Gentiles were made known. They were told the mysteries of the gospel, and they would answer, and some Jews as well. And they are now partakers. They are now will receive that inheritance. And what is that inheritance? What is that promise? We know we would receive the Holy Spirit, and that's what we do when we are immersed into the water, into Christ's blood. We receive the Spirit, but also the inheritance to come, which will be eternal life, heaven. And that's an inheritance that we don't want to blow. That's an inheritance we don't want to squander. Why? Because who wouldn't want to be in heaven with the Father? Who wouldn't want to be with Him for eternity in heaven? And we know, and we are given snippets of what heaven is like. But yet we have many who have gone astray. And I know of a few throughout my life who had gone astray and still haven't come back. Have you squandered away your inheritance? And that's something you need to answer yourself. Do you have sin in your life that is separating you from God? Have you been away from the faith for a long time? Well, I pray this morning you make it right. But when we look at Hebrews chapter 10, there were many, and this is the reason the writer was writing to the Hebrews, there were many who had gone astray, who had left Christ, went back under the law of Moses. Starting in verse 26 of Hebrews 10, For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. This is just one of many examples of losing that sacrifice, losing salvation. That sacrifice, which is Christ. We will lose that sacrifice if we continue willfully sinning. We must, when we put on Christ, we must strive every day to hold on to the faith, must hold on to His Word, and to live faithfully for Him. Not turning again into sin, to the world. But this son of his had turned his back on his father and went off and squandered everything. But guess what? There's still a chance. There's still a chance for you to fix the problem. Because many, when they have been gone for so long, they ask this question: what can I do to fix this mess? And you can't do it on your own. Of course not. We cannot stand on our own two feet. Without Christ, we have nothing. Without Christ, we have no way to the Father. Without Christ, we have no salvation. And so the only way back, one must repent and turn back to God. As we see back in our main text in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 17, it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will rise up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. Reality hits him. Reality hits him at this point because he's at his lowest. He was willing to eat the pods, the very same pods that were fed to the swine. And if you've seen what pigs eat, it doesn't look too appetizing, does it? He is so hungry. He's dying. And no one's willing to help him. But he realizes, I need to go back to my father. I need to go back and repent because I have sinned against him. And maybe, just maybe, he'll make me as one of his hired servants. When reality hits, what we see in that moment is godly sorrow, hopefully godly sorrow, that will lead one to true repentance. As Paul would tell the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, I now rejoice that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to repentance. For you were made to have godly sorrow, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For godly sorrow produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world brings about death. People can be sorry, but it go no further. But the only reason they're Sorry, it's because they got caught. But godly sorrow will lead one to true repentance. And then that repentance will lead one to salvation. You know, repentance isn't just a one-time ordeal. It's a daily thing we do. You may not realize that you have sinned, but is it good to repent? Is it good to ask for forgiveness? Absolutely. Now, understanding, before there is to be forgiveness, there must be repentance. True repentance is when one denies oneself, denying the old self that was in sin, and they change their mind, they change their life, and they turn back to God. That's what true repentance looks like. True repentance is not just saying sorry and then that's it, you stop there. You must prove it. You must show it. Godly sorrow, worldly sorrow, as we see with Judas and Peter. Judas had sorrow, but it wasn't godly sorrow. He didn't even once confess Christ as the Messiah. So his sorrow only led so far, but we see that, does it bring about death? Absolutely. Because we see Judas would take his own life, but Peter, on the other hand, when he denied Christ three times, that godly sorrow led him to true repentance. And we see Peter go forth preaching, making known the mysteries of the gospel, of the word, and would die for Christ later in life, become a martyr. It's not easy to confess when you're wrong. That's how society is. People have so much pride, and they say they cannot utter the words, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I've seen that in a few people throughout my life. But we need to swallow that pride, get rid of it, and understand when we do wrong against God, we must repent. We must confess our sins before Him. So here brings up the second question. What if He won't forgive me? What if He doesn't forgive me? Well, then you don't know God then. Because let me tell you, throughout Scripture, we know that God is faithful, God is loving, God shows mercy, and God will forgive. We know God knows the heart of all men, every man. He knows the heart and He knows your deeds. God is faithful and He will forgive. Going to Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 20, back to our main text here. So after reality hits him, he rose up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, slaughter it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. What a beautiful moment we see here. The son gets up and goes back to his father. And I can only imagine what's going through his mind as he's going back. Worried that he's going to be angry, that he's going to scold him. But by his surprise, the father, before the son could even get almost halfway, the father meets him. The father felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. How great of a feeling is that, knowing that this father loved his son so much that he ran and embraced him. But we see from this young man true repentance. Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. But was that what the father did? No, the father tells his slaves to come and bring him a robe, bring him a ring to put on his hand, sandals, to bring out the fattened calf, slaughter it so they can eat and celebrate. As the father proclaimed, he was lost, but now is found. Let me tell you something about God, our wonderful master, who we serve. God is near us all. He will never forsake us. God is one who will forgive when there is true repentance involved. God desires all men to be saved. And he showed true love the day that he sent his son down here to die for us. And I think sometimes we think we know what type of love that is, but I don't think we can truly comprehend that type of love. To send your only son to die for people who don't deserve it. Yeah, we don't deserve it. And we never will deserve what he did for us. But God's grace is given to us. God's love was shown. God's mercy was shown. All you need to do for those who have went astray is reach out. You know, I heard a preacher one time say, when it feels like God is the farthest away from you, that's when he's the closest to you. And I really thought about that because there have been times even in my life where I felt that God was far away, but really, he was right there. All you have to do is reach out. All you have to do is go to him and truly repent, denying yourself that sin and getting rid of it and turning back to him. That's what we are called to do. In 1 John chapter 1 verses 9 through 10, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has kept his promises throughout time. Throughout the times we see in the Old Testament, he kept his promise. And he will keep his promise for us. Once again, when you are buried with Christ in baptism, and his blood washes away your sins, and you come out of that water, you are now a new creature. You are perfect. But that doesn't mean you will remain perfect. You will stumble. But knowing, along with that sacrifice, as long as you come and continually repent, that your sins will not be remembered. That's the difference between the old and new. The old covenant, the law of Moses, they remembered their sins daily, yearly. There was no sacrifice that could take away those sins. The blood of bulls and goats could not do it. That's why he sent his only son down here to die for our sins. Once the blood of Christ washes over, our sins are gone and forgotten. And so, if you confess, if you repent and confess, he will forgive. But this isn't the end of the story. There's another brother. We also, as God has forgiven us, we must also forgive others. I think it's so important that we remember that, because in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 25, now this older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And summoning one of the servants, he began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not wanting to go in, and the father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and never have I neglected a command of yours. And yet, never have you given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Child, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive, and was lost and has been found. Sadly, I have witnessed many brothers and sisters who would not forgive, who had this anger, bitterness towards someone who had come back, not rejoicing, not celebrating that a brother and sister of theirs has come back and is renewed. They didn't feel that they were worthy of it. Sounds a lot like Jonah and his problem with Nineveh. Jonah didn't think Nineveh deserved forgiveness, didn't deserve a chance to repent. And we see that Jonah would call them to repent, and the city of Nineveh, the whole city, would truly repent, and God would spare them. But Jonah wasn't having any of it. But God would quickly correct him. God has the right to do what he wants. He's God. And so he chose to show us favor, to show us grace. He had the right to choose to forgive us and to give us a way to have salvation through his son. But he also has the right not to do so. And that's why I think it's so important, first off, that we thank God that he gave us a way. But secondly, when an erring brother or sister comes back and they repent and they are renewed, we need to rejoice. We need to celebrate. Most importantly, it's important that we forgive as well if wrong was done to us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. But also going back up to Luke chapter 15, verse 7, notice what is said here. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Not only when lost souls come to Christ and give their life to him and are baptized. Yes, heaven's rejoicing this day, absolutely, and we should rejoice and celebrate. But when a former brother or sister comes back to Christ, heaven's rejoicing. Because they were once dead but are now alive. They were once lost but now are found. If we can't have that attitude, that's sin. It's a sinful attitude to have. To think that someone doesn't deserve forgiveness, doesn't deserve a chance to repent. Let me tell you, God is patient and slow to fulfill his promise, giving everyone a chance to repent, to turn back to him. And we should thank him every day that we have time, as now today, this morning, to do it. Let me tell you, if you're not a Christian, understand this, you are lost. But God's grace has been given. And he has given you a way to come to him. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word. Believe the word. Once again, faith does save, but not alone. We must believe. We must have faith. But then there are conditions to be met. We must repent. Changing one's mind. Denying our old sinful self. Putting it behind us. And turning and going after God. Repenting is so important. If you can't repent, if you can't believe, there's no more we can do for you. But then we must confess our faith in Christ. As Christ would tell his followers, those who confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. Those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father. But it doesn't stop there. We must be baptized, immersed for the remission of our sins, as we see throughout all the New Testament. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15 and 16, 1 Peter 3:21, and so forth and so on. That is the only way to come into contact with the blood of Christ. But it also doesn't stop there. We must remain faithful. So if you're lost this morning, now's the time to do what's right, to answer the call. For Christ is pleading with you. And I pray that you decide this morning to give your life to Christ. Allow the church to assist you and to lift you up. Or if you are a straying member, if you are someone, a member who has sin in their life, you are separated from God. And you are called to repent and to renew your walk with Christ. Don't wait. The son did not wait. The son knew where he needed to go back, and he went back to his father. He knew there he would be saved. He knew there he would be fed. He would be given everything he needed. Don't wait, because we're not promised tomorrow. So if you are here this morning, you need any assistance, come. Allow the church to pray with you, to encourage you, to lift you up. Allow us to help you in any way as we come and stand and as we sing.